It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM, WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbrink. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show,
the first thing to do if you feel you're being mistreated is to remember that you're in America and you're free to get up and leave. You do not have to continue that transaction with someone who's mistreating you. And when you feel that they are misrepresenting things to you or treating you wrong, when they are not giving you a written buyer's order, when they are not giving you the truth in lending disclosures, vote with your feet, walk out the door, and try and find a car dealership who's going to treat you right.
Private attorney Tom Domonoski identifies the legal traps and pitfalls of buying a used car and how to sidestep them. And the mysteries of wills and why you need a lawyer to write one are explained in this week's question and answer session. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. This show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. Ain't gonna let no hatred. And now, this week's news you can use. For the first time in more than 30 years, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, issued long-anticipated mortgage reforms this month that will help consumers to shop for the lowest-cost mortgage and avoid costly and potentially harmful loan offers. HUD will require, for the first time ever, that lenders and mortgage brokers provide consumers with a standard good faith estimate that clearly discloses key loan terms and closing costs. HUD estimates its new regulation will save consumers nearly $700 at the closing table. Since 1974, little has changed about the process Americans endure when they buy and refinance their homes. Now, HUD's final reform will improve disclosure of the key loan terms and closing costs consumers pay when they buy or refinance their home. HUD will require the new standardized good faith estimate and HUD 1 beginning January 1, 2010. In other news, if a creditor sends you a pre-approved credit card that offers to transfer a debt you allegedly owe and also to forgive 10% of it, you may be dealing with a scam. Under this scam, the credit limit is the same as the debt amount, plus interest at 19.9%. The back of the scam offer has a statement that says, quote, time barred debt. If you pay your debt in full by transferring your debt to a new Visa credit card, the amount transferred and any charges on your Visa credit card will be valid, enforceable, and can be recovered by any lawful means, even if the age of your debt being paid by the balance transfer would prevent a lawsuit from being filed to collect it. Unquote. If you fall for this scam, you'll allow the creditor to get around a defense called the statute of limitations, a law that limits the time during which a creditor can sue, which generally is 5 years on a written contract. Don't be fooled. If you fall for this scam, the creditor is allowed to sue and get a judgment because the 5-year limitations period starts running all over again. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Turn me around, turn me around, no, turn me around, ain't gonna let injustice turn me around. I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, marching up to freedom land. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is contract. A contract is an agreement between two or more persons, or between persons and companies. Usually, a seller agrees to deliver a product or provide a service, and a buyer agrees to pay money. A contract may be oral or in writing. An example of an oral contract is a babysitter's agreement to look after children and a parent's promise to pay an hourly rate. Some contracts must be in writing. For example, a contract for the sale of land. A written contract could look very formal and official, or be handwritten on a plain sheet of paper. A contract states the rights and duties of the buyer and the seller. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and that's this week's legal term of the week.
It's time for our weekly question and answer session, and we're here in the studio with this week's questioner, Sherita from Richmond. Welcome to the show, Sherita.
Thank you.
What question do you have for us this week?
I'm interested in knowing how to develop a will.
And is this something for yourself or for a family member?
It's for my dad.
And just curious, how old is your dad?
My dad is 72 years old.
Well, it sounds like it's about time for him to have a will. The best advice I can give you is to have him contact an attorney if he can afford one, or to contact Central Virginia Legal Aid Society if he can't. The reason I say that is there are only two kinds of wills in Virginia. There is what we call a self-proving will, which is done properly by an attorney, and then there's the other kind, which is a handwritten or holographic will. And holographic wills are really tricky. There are a lot of really technical rules that apply to handwritten rules. It has to be entirely in your father's handwriting. It has to be signed by him at the very end. There can be nothing after his signature. And there has to be some other proof, some other handwriting samples that would show that that's really his handwriting. All in all, it's really difficult to get a handwritten or holographic will accepted by the court after someone has passed away. That's why he really needs to see an attorney, because an attorney will do it right, will have the proper language in it, and more importantly, will make sure that it is properly executed. And to get a will properly executed in Virginia, you have to have four people in the same room at the same time. The person signing the will, who we will call the testator, two witnesses, both of whom are not mentioned or named in the will, and finally a notary public. And all four people have to be together in the same place at the same time. The testator signs, witness number one signs, witness number two signs, and then the notary public will notarize all three of their signatures. And that makes it a valid will.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your question. We're back with the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and we're here at the annual statewide Legal Aid Conference. We're talking with private attorney Tom Domonoski from Harrisonburg, Virginia. Tom is a noted consumer lawyer. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thanks. Glad to be here, Marty.
And we'll be talking today about buying and financing used cars. And Tom has compiled a list of all of the practices to watch out for. The first on the list is watch out for the yo-yo sale. Tell us, Tom, what's a yo-yo sale?
A yo-yo sale is where a car dealer makes you think that you've bought the car and that it's a done deal, you've signed all the documents, you've gone home, and a week later or 3 days later or 2 weeks later, you get a call and you're asked to come back to either give more money down, sign a different credit contract, buy a different car, get a cosigner, some change in the terms.
And why would the dealer do this?
The dealer does this because the dealer was intending to sell your credit contract to a purchaser of financial paper. The dealer is the creditor in the transaction, and they take your credit contract and they try and sell it on the financial markets. They have an expectation of how much they would get paid when they do that, but after you've left the lot, they then found out that they couldn't sell it for that amount of money, and they are unhappy because now they're not making as much money as they thought they were.
But isn't this a done deal? I mean, does the buyer have to do what the dealer says, or can they basically say, I'm keeping the car, I'm paying for it, that's your problem?
If a car dealer tells you you're approved, that's supposed to be true. If a car dealer tells you this is the deal, that's supposed to be the deal. If the car dealer gives you a credit contract that says the car dealer's the creditor, and you sign it, and the interest rate starts on that, then that is the deal. And the law would say the car dealer has to abide by the deal. They don't want to do that, though, because they would rather make more money.
What would be your advice to a purchaser who's in that situation, who's faced with that demand?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would look at your paperwork and look at how much you actually agreed to pay as the cash price for the car. Look at the interest rate to see how much you agreed to borrow at what terms, and see if it's a good deal. It's possible that you had agreed to overpay for the car, that you had agreed to too much interest, and that when the car dealer says, the deal's canceled, we need you to come sign a new one, the best thing for you might be to go ahead and cancel the deal. I would not sign a new one. Once a car dealer has done this to you, you know you can't trust them. So I would never go sign another deal. However, when they say the deal's canceled, if you actually didn't negotiate a very good purchase the first time, it might be in your interests to agree the deal's canceled and give them back the car.
And if you feel you negotiated a good deal, what should you do then?
If you feel you negotiated a good deal, you have a contract, and they told you you're approved, the law says that you have a contract and you can make your monthly payment to the car dealer until the car dealer tells you someone else to make the monthly payment to. Whether you want to do that or not depends on how much of a fight you might want to get into with the car dealer, because the car dealer will, in my experience, try to take the car from you.
Will they actually try to repossess? And if that happens, what should you as a buyer do?
Well, first, I don't call it repossession. It's not a repossession because you as the borrower aren't in default. They were actually seizing your car. It's called stealing. In the civil world, it might be called conversion. But in my experience, the car dealers will come and try to take the car. That action is unlawful if they've told you it was a done deal, if they've given you a binding credit contract, and you then have legal remedies that you can pursue.
Let's talk about the odometer law. What is the dealer supposed to do an odometer disclosure?
The Federal Odometer Act has a number of requirements that include far more than disclosing the odometer mileage on the car. Most importantly, they require that odometer disclosure to be on the title. If it's a used car that's being sold, there should be a title to it, and the odometer disclosure should be on the title. If it's a new car, the odometer disclosure should be on the certificate of origin. When you buy a car, you want to know you are buying a car from someone who has title to it. There is one way that they prove they have title to the car they're trying to sell you, or if it's a new car, a certificate of origin. They show it to you. If a car dealer is unwilling to show you the title to a used car or the certificate of origin for a new car, then you do not know whether they actually have the title to sell that. In today's economy, a lot of car dealers are actually going bankrupt. And as they go bankrupt, they start to sell cars that they have not yet got titles to. And there are people being left stranded, having signed contracts, given money for cars, and then the title never shows up. So the Odometer Act disclosure needs to be on the title. And as a buyer of a car, you're actually under duty under Virginia law to only buy a car from someone who has title to it. That's a way to ensure that people don't buy stolen cars. The way you do that is you ask them to show you the title.
And if they don't show you the title, what's your next step?
Walk out the door. Anyone trying to sell you a car who is a car dealer and won't show you the title is someone that you should walk out the door on.
Now, another issue that you highlight is what we call the prior wreck issue. How do you know if a vehicle has been in a prior wreck?
The best way to know is to take a car to a mechanic and have it be inspected. There are a number of services that disclose information, for instance, like Carfax. However, the information on Carfax is not complete. I've been involved in a number of cases where at the time of sale, there was no disclosures on Carfax about the car being in a wreck, but indeed it had been in a prior wreck. The best way for a used car is to take the used car and have it looked at by someone who understands cars and can look at it and tell you whether it is in good condition. It could have been in an accident and repaired properly. Someone might look at it and say, well, yes, we can tell that there's been some work on the right fender. It appears to have been repaired properly. And it could be that it was in a major accident and the repairs were done shoddily and that it's unsafe to drive.
Now, is there any information about a prior wreck that would have to be contained on the vehicle's title, or will it be completely silent as to that?
In Virginia, if the car had been declared a total loss by an insurance company and bought back by the insurance company, or there was damage to the car to 75% of its value, then on the title there should be an indication that it is either a rebuilt vehicle or a salvage vehicle. The problem is that cars move from state to state, and not every state requires the same information to show on the title. And it is possible for cars to come into Virginia from other states where they have been in a complete collision, total loss, and not have that information on the title.
Okay, now, when most people buy a car, they also finance it. And it probably comes as no surprise that more money is made on the financing than on really the car itself. So lead us through the process of how financing is supposed to work and how it works in practice and where that might lead to legal problems.
The best way to finance a car purchase is to separate the obtaining the money from buying the car. Someone should go to a bank, a credit union, normal lending source, apply for a car loan, and find out just how much money they can borrow and what the monthly payment would be if they borrowed that money. And then they know how much money they can spend, and before they step foot on a car lot, can make a decision of how much of their budget they want to commit towards a car purchase. Most important, they should go to their insurance company and find out what comprehensive insurance will cost them. Because if you finance a car purchase, the lien holder to whom the money is owed will require you to have comprehensive insurance on the car. And so you will end up having a monthly payment for the loan, but your insurance can also be quite high, especially if you buy a new car and perhaps don't have a clean driving record. You need to know both those numbers, how much money you can borrow, and how much the insurance is going to be before you step on a car lot. If you get financing from an independent source, then when you're on the car lot, you will know, okay, I have $5,000, I have $10,000, or I have $20,000 to spend, or $30,000, depending on your circumstances. And you can then negotiate with the car dealer the cash price for the car. The single best way to buy a car is to negotiate the cash price for the car and have your financing picture decided before you walk on the lot.
Okay, now that's the ideal way to do it, but in practice that's probably not how a large number of cars are bought. So lead us through the process that that you see coming into your office and what the pitfalls might be, particularly the legal claims that could be raised.
The unfortunate situations that we see are usually someone who, rather than negotiating a cash price for the car, negotiated a monthly payment. And their discussions with the car dealer were about what their monthly payment would be and how much their down payment would be. Their discussions were not about the cash price. If you're only discussing the monthly payment and your down payment, you actually have no idea what you're agreeing to as the cash price for the car, nor do you have an idea what the interest rate is. And so on the car lot, even if you're going to finance at the car dealership, the first thing you say is, I want to know the cash price for the car. Under Virginia law, there's a statute, it's Virginia Code 46.2-1530, the car dealer is required to give you a fully complete written buyer's order explaining every term of their offer. And the car dealer is required to give you this written document during the negotiation phase prior to any sales agreement. The law is clear. Consumers just need to say, I'm not going to talk monthly payment. Let's first talk the cash price for the car. Then, before you talk financing, leave the car lot with that cash price for that car and comparison shop. You have to protect yourself when you're buying a car. There is nothing wrong with the car dealer trying to make as much money as possible, as long as the car dealer doesn't lie to you. But that is their job. Their job is to make as much money as possible in the sale. And if you will agree to give them a lot more money than the car is worth, they will be happy to take it from you. So even when you're financing at the car dealership, first, negotiate the cash price of the car by simply asking for your buyer's order that they are legally required to give you during the negotiation phase prior to any sales agreement. Take that offer and comparison shop at another dealership for a similar car to see what that dealership is willing to give you. Only then, if you're going to finance at the car dealership, which I do not recommend, only start the financial discussion with the car dealership who has first agreed to sell you the car you want at the better price than the others. If you do not comparison shop the price of the car, you will probably overpay for the car.
And as a final wrap-up question, let's say the dealer violates one or several of these provisions we've been talking about. It's a yo-yo sale, there's a problem with the odometer disclosure, or they don't give you the completed buyer's order, they don't give you the truth in lending disclosure before everything is finalized. What's your remedy?
Well, the first remedy is if you feel you're being mistreated, and you should feel you're being mistreated if they will not give you a written buyer's order during the negotiation phase prior to any sales agreement. You should feel you're being mistreated if they will not give you the Truth in Lending Act disclosures before any credit terms. You should feel you're being mistreated if you say, I don't want a service contract, and they give you a document that's got a service contract on it. The first thing to do if you feel you're being mistreated is to remember that you're in America and you're free to get up and leave. You do not have to continue that transaction with someone who's mistreating you. And when you feel that they are misrepresenting things to you or treating you wrong, when they are not giving you a written buyer's order, when they are not giving you the truth in lending disclosures, vote with your feet, walk out the door, and try and find a car dealership who's going to treat you right. The best way to protect yourself from a fraudulent deal is, as soon as you feel that they aren't treating you right, simply leave.
Powerful words from Tom Domonoske, consumer lawyer in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Mark.
This week's top three tips are about buying a used car. The first tip is that dealers must post a buyer's guide on every used car offered for sale. This must tell you whether the car is sold as is or with a warranty. And if you have a warranty,
what part of the repair cost the dealer will pay. The second tip is that if a dealer sells a car as is, they must give you another statement about an as-is sale. This must be on the front of your buyer's order and say that the vehicle is sold as is and not covered by any warranty. The third tip is that if you don't get the as-is statement on the front of your buyer's order, you have 30 days to cancel the sale. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and for this week, that's our top three tips.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Emergency unemployment compensation benefits expire soon. Are you eligible? Join us next week when Cheryl Crawford at the Virginia Employment Commission describes the complex rules about who can get emergency unemployment compensation and how. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Winkler.